Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another Scale Riders Podcast episode. I am your host, 65 Lokes, episode number 214, covering model car culture from around the world. Hope you guys are doing well. There's a lot going on this weekend, which, you know, I had to make this a solo episode. A lot going on, various things to talk about. I'm on the road, on the commute, and why not do it old school style right here? And let's start things off by mentioning about Scale Rider store. Right now we got 10% off three kits, so purchase of three or more kits is 10% off, and also purchases of $99 and above, it's free shipping. So I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys. There's a lot of kits that have been dropping, and more are on their way, coming out. Various brands: Aoshima, Nunu Plots, Fujimi, Hasegawa. A lot of cool, neat things dropping from them. Also, like to mention a re-up of God Hand products will be arriving soon. I've been already notified, they've been dispatched, so they should be arriving soon. To do expect a restock on God Hand. It's been a minute since we've done any God Hand restocks. It feels like, you know, it's crazy how long it took to finally get product from them. So, but finally, it's going to be here soon. And, you know, anything from like sanding pads to their tools, we'll be getting the restock in the store. So please stay tuned to that. And also, one of the biggest, latest Zoomon drops, we just received earlier this week. Lots of cool things showed up. Restock on a lot of wheels. We're starting to expand our catalog on the wheels. You know, at first we started off, you know, getting all the seats, steering wheels, side view mirrors, and other small items that they had as far as detail. But I know when it comes to like their seats, they have a huge catalog of seats. The same with the side view mirrors and the wheels. And the wheels was something that, you know, we hadn't explored too much yet. We were more, you know, sinking in into the Aoshima wheel sets. And as Zoomon keeps producing new and new products it feels like every week, but I would say maybe every couple of weeks, there's something new. Because I know every time I check, you know, with them, there's always something new coming up and dropping. And, you know, the wheels, they keep hitting us with wheels, different various sizes, all the way from like 15 inch, you know, down up to like 18 to 19 inch. And I was like, you know, I think it's time that I need to start picking up and expanding that catalog to make that available. So in this previous order, we did order a bunch of wheels that arrived, and you know, along with other various products that they have brand new that dropped. You know, I know they also have a lot of different carbon fiber decals, the Hella Flush decals. So there's a lot of cool things that have been coming out, and do expect more from Zoomon products. We are going to be getting more. The same with Top Studio. Top Studio, we had just acquired a restock, and also some new items from them as well that we haven't had in the store yet. So there's a lot of different fittings that we got from them. The braided lines as well, silver and black. And further on, we will be receiving the different size rivets that they use. That they offer, you know. So far, the rivets that I've had experience with are the ones from Zoomon, and you know, I have talked about it before on the podcast about I would recommend using a magnet to get the rivet to stand it up and be able to place that in the hole and then just slide it off. Because tweezers, it depends. I mean, unless if you got some really strong ones, but from some of those ones I used, you know, I was like stressing out my hand, like getting it tired from just holding that so tight squeezing down, and then sometimes, you know, I lost at least about 5 rivets at that time. I was like, dang. But I kind of found my momentum, you know, with the magnet. So that's just a recommendation for those that are curious about trying out the rivets. And, you know, I do know that Top Studio offers different various sizes in the rivets. That's in a different style, too. So it might be something that someone out there might be needing or wanting to try out as well for their builds. And, you know, as far as like the kits, man, it's been kind of crazy, you know, just acquiring kits, some that are hard to find and just some that you see a lot of, you know, and it makes you wonder, like, man, I wonder how many of these did they produce, because there's just so many of them, you know. And, you know, from just time of noticing, you know, getting into it, like the ball rolling, let's say, you know, I remember stepping into it, getting the kits, and just thinking, oh yeah, they're always going to be available. And later learning that it wasn't anything like that, you know, things come and go, and it's kind of in phases. You have to do the pre-orders with your distributor, and if you don't get on that, then you're kind of left over with the leftovers, you know, whatever didn't sell, that's all that's going to be available. And all the items that are sought after, that are most wanted and hot, are gone. So you have to act fast. And through that process, you learn. Sometimes you realize, you know, you assume, oh, these kits right here, oh my gosh, these are dope. Like, these are going to be, like for sure, let me get these, you know, and these. And next thing you know, the quantities, you start saying, oh, I'm going to get an excess of this and that. And later you learn that, you know, some of these kits, you know, it's like a hit and miss with some of them. You start to kind of learn, like, oh man, I guess I'm gonna be stuck with these for a minute, you know. And then later, you know, you have to find ways to put them on sale, or, you know, to move them, because they're taking up space, and you need to make room for the new kits to come in. So it takes a while to kind of dial it in, you know. And sometimes when you think, oh, I think I got a good handle on it, there's always surprises, you know. There's always something new, like, oh man, you know. So I think now it's more, I got a good feel of getting, like before it was a bit of a mystery, but now I know where to get, you know, the stuff from. But as far as like the quantities, I think that's changed drastically, you know, before doing that large quantity of kits, and now not really wanting to acquire so many kits, just kind of getting the bare minimum of it. Because also it's like, you know, if customers are looking for those kits and they want them, you know, and it's something they've been looking for, something that they look on the secondary market, you know, selling for so much money, and then they find it here for a lot less, and if there's a low amount of quantity available on it, you know, they should take advantage of that and just, you know, get the kit if they're looking for it, you know. But man, if you hear the background, it's like pouring down right now, like the rain. But it said it was supposed to chill out, but I don't know what's going on. Apologies for the sound. But yeah, there's like traffic building up right here, as like just tripping out how many cars are like slowing down. Normally this road, it's like everyone's going by quick. But yeah, you know, as far as the kids, you guys are going to start noticing a momentum, like, of different kits coming in. But do expect them to come in low quantities, you know. You're going to see them in quantities of 1, 2, maybe 4 max, you know. Before it was different, but now things have to change. I feel like, you know, the variety has to grow, definitely, but in low quantity numbers. You know, just to have different offerings for people, because, you know, everybody is into different styles of cars, you know. But at the same time, my attention is a lot in, like, the kits that are hard to find in import kits. Not so much the domestic kits, just because of the price ranges for a domestic kit. They're very high, and that's a very competitive market, too. You know, there's other, like, bigger stores, bigger chains that carry domestic kits for a way lower cost, especially during their sales at, I think, any brick and mortar or online store. It'll be very, very difficult to attempt to even compete with that. It's just not from a business standpoint, it's not a good one. But aside from that, I mean, we do have a lot of events coming up. They're pretty much already here. We're just days away, hours away from them. Today being Thursday, you know, the GSL is beginning today. Unfortunately, I won't be there. I do have friends that are there, and I look forward to seeing the updates that they give us to show us what's going on out there. That's going to be pretty cool to see. I've always heard about the show, but the one thing that I felt like it kind of lacked was content. I never saw any content from it. And even if I ever, like, looked for something, it was always like a mission to look for content. You know, I hope this one being the last one is something different. I hope there's the content. And, you know, shout outs to Brando Commando. He did reach out to me and tell me that he was going to be recording content, posting that up. So I look forward to seeing that there from him. And yeah, I believe, you know, people will be taking pictures, video, and I look forward to seeing all this. I hope, you know, it like people get motivated to bring it back in the future or revamp it or something. You know, there's going to be something, hopefully, in the future. And maybe this is just the ending to the season. You know, maybe there'll be a new season down the road in the future, something different, something new. You know, because it's a lot of work, that's gone on to it through the years, from what I hear, and finally reaching a point where they say it's done. They say it's the last one, but you never know. You always got to have hope that it comes back, you know. And, you know, aside from the GSL, you know, so that's going down Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that's a whole weekend, man. I don't know. That's going to be a lot. Like, I've never done a show for not even 2 days. So I can't even imagine. 4 days. A lot of stimulation. A lot of, you know, just like seeing everything. But if anything, it's probably more of a relaxing vibe, I feel like. You know, you get to hang out with your friends. You get to check out some model builds. You get to, you know, just check stuff out. Peek in with the vendors. Pick stuff up. Bring it back to the hotel. Go back. Get some more stuff. Or the next day, get some more stuff. So, a little bit of everything, you know. So, we'll see, man. We'll see. I feel like you just have to pack like a huge luggage or something to be able to bring back all that stuff, and then bring extra clothes too, you know, for the event. And that should be interesting. And then Saturday, there is going to be a scale model a showcase that Armando Flores is doing out in the valley at the Pink Motel. That's Saturday and it's going down. That should be very, very interesting too. That's from like 1 to 9 p.m. Do check the stories on Instagram, because we'll be posting the flyers with the info on there as well. But you know, if you're in California and you're trying to attend and you can't find the address, just Google Pink Motel, and the address should come up. It's out in the valley. I believe it's like a 10-minute drive from like Burbank, maybe about a 15 to 20 minute drive from Glendale or Los Angeles. So it's not too far, you know. But at the same time, you know, content will be posted from that as well online. So stay tuned. I'm sure a lot of those in attendance will be posting up, you know, the model display and everything there. And then Sunday here in Southern California, we have the SoCal Open presented by Dedicated Magazine. It should be a fun one. You know, we are expecting Snacks. You know, he arrived all the way from Louisiana. He's in town. He's here. And I believe Vision 124 is also going to be making an appearance all the way from the East Coast. We also got Dennis Matthews. He's going to be making an appearance all the way from Florida as well. So, you know, we do have some modelers that are travelers that always come out to the West Coast. You know, some seasoned vets. Nah. So it's going to be cool to see them back in town. It's raining right now. I hope this rain is just today and it clears up. And I hope, you know, you guys get to enjoy the rest of the days under the sun. Because it's been nice. It's weird. All these other days, it's been really nice. Not too hot. And now all of a sudden, this rain just pops up. It's all, like, gloomy outside. And for the most part, I'm looking forward to it. So I finished up my models for the show. So let's get into that. So I've been working on the EF9 Civic. And this Civic, it looks like, you know, a repop of the Aoshima B-Max EF Civic that they had released, you know, years back. I'm not sure when. I do know, you know, there's a couple of different box arts with the different liveries. And this one here was released by Nunu Hobby. And when you open the kit, I mean, if you look at the trees, you still see the B-Max logo in there, you know. So I'm pretty sure they acquired the license and they decided to start putting out this kit. And you don't have to, you know, redo molds or whatever to take off the name. Like, you just keep reusing the molds, you know. But it's such a beautiful kit. Such a beautiful kit. It has the Jax livery. And this kit, I combined it along with White Chocolate 124, his Civic EF9 body kit, or trans kit, let's say. And man, it everything just fit really nice. Very beautiful kit. I had so much enjoyment with this kit. You know, when I had gotten my hands on this and I started to open it and mock up, you know, I was very excited because this was like a friend group build off along with Slowly Models out in Australia, Kiwi Cam Hobbies, aka Cam, all the way in, man, it's next to Australia, New Zealand, god dang, I was like forgetting where he was from, New Zealand. And you know, we started to venture out on these builds, the Kanjuzoku style inspired. And I mean, Cam dude, he's like quick, but he does such beautiful builds. And he got his done first. Later, Casey came out with the CRX. Man, he killed it with his too. It was very, very cool, very dope. Both cars, I mean, I was like, oh man. And I started working on mine, and I work more at a slower pace. And I kind of later tend to learn, you know, the method of the pace that I take. It's almost for a reason, because I always come across something down the road that ends up fitting together with the car. And even when I'm done with the car, I think, oh man, if I would have waited a little longer, I could have added this, or this could have changed. So it's one of those things that it could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing, I guess. But I don't know. There's nothing really bad happening. It's just, you know, the wanting to wait. You know, sometimes if you wait more, you know, there's more offerings. So they got theirs built. I started working on mine. And then later through this session, our friend David, all the way in Spain, joined the friend build off as well. He started working on his EF9 Civic. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I was getting busy with other stuff. Now to come back to it, step away, come back. But it was always fun to revisit it, doing the mock-up, adding the different features that came with the trans kit that White Chocolate offers, and eventually getting it down to primer, you know, deciding what color of paint, and then later, you know, the decals was kind of the waterside decals was kind of an accident. It wasn't really like from the beginning that I was like, oh, I'm getting these decals for this car, this is what's going to happen. It was just more of like, you know, I had them and I was just thinking to myself, man, like, would these even fit? I don't know if these are too big or too small. And I really didn't find anywhere where I could put these. So then finally, it just kind of made sense. And it kind of came together where I was like, okay, they're going to go with the car. They're going to go with this car. And that's it. I'm going to put them here on the doors. And then I'm going to put one in the rear wing at the top. And that's it. It's going to be done. And, you know, just going through that whole process. And eventually, you know, it took so long for this car to get cleared, because I put the decals on and I didn't even clear the car. I remember putting the car away. I'd be working on other projects, or I'd be like just busy, not having any time to work on anything. But I would be staring at this car all the time, you know. And I did use the Zoom-on brakes along with it's the brake set. So they're... it's the brakes along with the photo etch disc rotors that are on there. And I was just like, disc brakes. The rotors are already molded in to the brake. So, you know, I had all these like things kind of going on with this build. And I still remember just, you know, picking up all the small little things that I was going to need for this. So I made it a little bit more special, knowing like, all right, cool, I got all this stuff now. Now it's time to put all the pieces together, you know, and go from there. Finally, when the time came to finally be able to clear coat the car, I had to pre-prep the windows, because, you know, there's a lot of things I learned along with this build regarding 2K clear. That it's definitely thick, and if you overspray, it's definitely going to change the fitting of your car on things, and sometimes things aren't going to fit. You're going to run into a lot of issues. And that was something I had experienced, that I expressed about my Liberty Walk Lamborghini kit, where I got too much clear around the windows, where the window placement would be making contact window with the body, and I just had to cut the car into a bunch of stuff to make that happen. But with this one here, we were running into something where I was like, all right, I'm pre-planning, I don't want to run into any issues. So I ended up using Tamiya's yellow 2mm tape and also some 1mm tape and the 6mm tape. I started adding the 6mm tape on the pillar and then all the smaller size tapes, the 1 and the 2, around the edge of the inside of the body where the windows would be placed and glued. So I started working all that right there, placing the tape. One thing I did learn it out. I'll share this tip. If you ever do this and you're putting in the tape, make sure that these strips of tape are short. They're small. Do not do a long strip. If you have a long window, just don't run like a long string of tape along the edge on the window. And the reason I say this is because after you clear coat your car, you want to take off that tape immediately. You don't want to leave it curing along with the clear, because what's going to happen is if you let that cure, let's just say by the next day or in 2 days, and you want to remove that tape will be a part of the body. And even if half of it comes out, like one half is loose and the other half isn't, the other half is locked into the clear, when you decide to pull that off, you're going to risk even pulling some of that clear off, and you're just going to ruin it. So when you take off the tape immediately, you have to be very careful. Use your tweezers and pull it away from the body, but also have your other hand handy just in case to catch the tape, you know, if it tends to drop or something, because you're risking that tape of dropping on the body of your car too. And that's going to be more of a risk if you have a long strip of tape, because the tape now has weight. When you're pulling the tape, it has a layer of clear coat on it. So when you're pulling it, and if it's a long piece, that tape's going to tend to drop quick once it comes off the body. And you don't want to ruin your clear job by it falling into the body and having the bottom sticky side hit the body, because now you're going to be taking off clear off your body, and that could even touch down into the paint. So when you do it in small strips, you're able to take your time. You pull one strip at a time, and when you grab it with the tweezers and you're pulling it slowly, it just comes right off, and you don't have to worry about it falling down on anything. So just take your time, pull off all the tape, and then you start to see that you still have bare plastic right there, and then the clear line. And from there, you just let it cure, and you're all good to go. So when I finally was done with the clearing, you know, I gave it some weeks to finally polish the body. But before I polished the body, I needed to do a fitment test, and yeah, everything fit. And I was just like, cool, I'm really really happy with the kit. So it got polished. Finally, it came down to the windows. I had to work on the windows. This kit doesn't come with any tape inserts to place in the inside of the windows to be able to paint the exterior ends in black. So Zumon does have a kit with their window masks that they offer, and I didn't know that. It's so weird. I've been, you know, carrying their catalog, but this piece I did not know, and I wish I would have, you know, because if I would have, that would have took advantage of using that on the car to have all that blackened out. But in this situation, that did not happen. So the kit does offer water slide decals that are very nice and very beautiful for what it is, and that you could use on the inside of the window. But there's still but it doesn't cover the full edges, like the full piece, and that's something I wish I would have you know, would have been able to do on the build. But, you know, I just had to move forward with it. But it wasn't until the end, you know, it wasn't until, like, I finally, the build was, like, done, where I realized that Zuman offered the window masks for that kit. And I was like, oh, dang. But it's all good. I mean, I do have another kit that I do want to build in the future, because I had such a good time with this one. I definitely want to build another one, do a different take on it, but definitely build another one. And with this one, I would like to use those window masks as well. You know, but the kit itself, I mean, just taking my time from doing all the fitment and everything in a process. I mean, the interior, I had the most fun, and I feel like I probably put most of my attention into the interior. A lot of details went into the interior. You know, prior to finishing the build, I always wanted to put a battery inside, you know, on the inside the car in the cockpit, like next to the driver. You know, from seeing content of videos of these guys racing their cars, I noticed a lot of them would keep their batteries on the passenger side, or even on the, or behind them, behind the car seat, they would have a battery strapped in. And I don't know, it always struck me kind of odd, but kind of cool. You know, it wasn't like in the engine bay at all. And in my mind, I'm just thinking like, oh, maybe it's like, it's just easy access to swap out a battery, or it just looks cool, you know, and maybe less weight in the front. I don't know. I was just like, I want to do that, you know, I want to do that on my build. I don't see that being done on build, so why not? And, you know, and at the same time, I'm trying to do my best to, like, replicate as close as possible to some of these cars that are in Japan. So my friend Casey Slowly Model ended up drawing me up these, like, really nice slim batteries that are being used in the Hondas. And my friend Dutch, Ducty Models, printed them up for me, and he got them to me. So I finally had the battery, and, you know, when it came down to, like, putting this thing together, I was like, man, this thing's so tiny. But it was just cool to see it all come together. I also used a waterside decal from a Gundam kit, and because they have some really nice waterside decals that, with some very small, like, lettering, you can't even read it, but it looks to scale. Not 1-2-4, but for, like, you know, certain areas in the engine or in the that you can use in the engine bay for sure. So I ended up just putting this on the battery, and it just made it official. I was like, cool, got that all painted up, decided where I was going to put it in the car. You know, from there I started working on the seats, the interior. It's already like a stripped interior, so I had to, like, you know, paint all the wirings that's in there. At the same time, man, the seat belts from Zuman, it's like two or three pieces of seat belts, the photo etch and everything. And I had to kind of find my momentum, my rhythm of putting it together, because you do need, it requires patience and time. And I ended up putting it together, you know, as to, like, I used two references. I used one reference looking at the photos from the Zuman kit, you know, that's on the photo from their seatbelts, and the other one coming from the instructions from the EF9. So, like, the EF9, on the side they offer the photo etch kit with seatbelt material. So they kind of give you, like, the length and the measurements as to how to, in an idea of how to put it together. So I used two references, and those helped a lot. And then I had to glue all that stuff down, because I was like, all right, this is coming down because the windows are going to be, like, you know, closed and everything. And if something happens, I'm not going to be able to really get to this car anymore in the interior because I got a... It's all getting locked in. It was just one of those things where, you know, as time went on, more and more ideas started to come up. Oh, yeah, maybe let's weather the interior a little bit. Because it was too clean. To give it a little bit more realistic vibe. And, you know, I was just excited to share the photos of this on my Instagram. I was just like, man, I've never done an interior like this at all. Ever. I always focus on other things, but this was that build that I focused on the interior a lot. And, you know, everything just kind of came together when I started putting it together. And it was a very relaxing thing. And at the same time, there's a show coming up. So one of the goals was to get the car done at least a week before the show. And sometimes, you know, when we try to set these goals to get things done before a show, they just don't happen sometimes. You know, we don't meet that. But with this one, it was different. It ended up happening that I was like, I was a bit in disbelief. Like, what the heck, for real? Like, I finished it. Man, this is crazy. And I don't know. Everything just kind of came together. I knew what I needed to attack each day. And I remember last week just staying up till like at least midnight or 1 in the morning from 10 p.m. just working on it and getting things done. And then even the next day in the morning, having a little bit of time to work on it, to finally getting it done. And it's such a rewarding and a good feeling getting the model done, you know. But at the same time, by saying that, when I mean done, I'm referring to the exterior, you know, the interior, underneath, you know, all that. So let's just say that this build is like 75% done. What's not done is the 25%, which is the engine. I do plan on adding an engine to this car. One of the cool things about this kit is that this Civic does have an engine bay. And it does have some areas where it's molded. And it looks really cool that it's like asking you, put an engine in here. You know, take advantage, put an engine in here. So Zoomon does offer a few different engines from the D series, B series, and a K series Honda engine. For this particular build, I did an original mock-up with the D series, and the engine just fits really nicely in there. That I'm like, ooh, okay, this is the one I'm gonna roll with. You know, I was later told about the B series, like, you know, maybe you could put a B series in there. That engine's supposed to be faster. It's more of an upgrade. Okay, cool. I get the B series, but that B series, I feel like I need to do some sanding or some kind of, not to the body. I would have to sacrifice some areas in the engine that are not even going to be seen, just to fit the engine in there. You know, for that exterior kind of look from the top. And then I was thinking, oh, what about a K series, right? Which is like an even more beefier engine. But later, from what I read online, is this style of car, the Kanjuzoku that's, you know, driving away from the police, driving so fast on the streets. Well, not even the streets. It's more like the loop on the highways in Japan. It's stated in there that, you know, none of those cars were ever going to be seen really driving in a K-Series. It was either going to be a D or a B. just because of how fast they're already going, and for the highway, it's a very dangerous highway with these loops. So if they would have, and it made sense, and I was just tripping on that, because if it would have a K-series, it would make this car very fast, that they could possibly lose control for already the speed that they're going. You know, it could cause an accident. So already they're going fast in any one of these engines, you know. And at the same time, I don't think that they're really trying to flex on having like a K-series or all this stuff. It's just, it almost seems like a very like a rebellious kind of vibe that I get from, you know, from these cars. And it's like, you know, that decision of, okay, well, I still might go with the D-series. I don't know. I might not even try to beef it up to the other one, you know? But the engine, that's going to be the next thing. I didn't want to pressure myself to have that done for the show, because I don't want to show the engine right now. Like, I don't want to put a model down with the hood open or with the hood off on the floor. I don't. I want to have the hood on the car presented like the car is chilling, you know? Later, I will go about the engine, because that's gonna be a whole new kit right there. Just focusing on the engine. And you know, while I was working on this car, you know, I did have a couple people in mind when it came down to the details. I was thinking about Christian. I was thinking about Daniel. And I was just thinking about the caliber of work that Kristen and Daniel do. Very detailed, very high level, and to the scale and everything, right? That from seeing their work and speaking with them, I'm like, man, like, it's very inspiring. And I go, you know, if they're going all out, I got to go all out too, you know? And I'm still, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. I'm not even close to the level that they're at, you know. But it is like an invitation. It is like something where I want to explore more of, you know, and not be intimidated by it. Back then, you know, I really didn't look too much into like the PE sets. I always felt like, with Photo Etch, it was a bit intimidating, and like the small parts, and for even for the kits that I was doing, there wasn't really too much Photo Etch available. But then things changed, you know. Detail Junkie started producing a lot of Photo Etch for a lot of lowrider cars, so now that was available. Okay, cool. And as time went on, you know, and I started exploring a lot of these other style of genre kits, I started to notice, man, they even have more Photo Etch for this too. Crazy. And slowly, when I started adding that Photo Etch into my builds, I started to see the difference from the plastic to these small little pieces of metal that I was like, man, that's a big difference, you know? To the first time using the Photo Etch disc brakes on my cars, and I just started to see whenever I would flash my light or the sun would hit, you know, when I see that reflection in there, it just gave it more of that realistic look that I told myself, I don't think I'm going back. I think going forward, all my cars are going to have disc brakes. They have to have PE on them. It's just going to be very hard for me to do a car with no PE on the brakes. It's just going to be super hard. So I've been adding them. The Liberty Walk GTR R35 has it. The EF9 that I just completed has it. There's this other Civic that I had mocked up. That's also, it's going to have it. Then my Liberty Walk Lamborghini Huracan also, I just recently got the disc brakes for it, and I just installed them recently, and these are ready for the show too. That's another build I'm taking. But I was like, man, like, you know, it's just more excitement. Cool. Photo edge comes into the picture. You know, more of the detail stuff's coming into the picture. The engine work stuff is a whole nother world. And, you know, some of the words that Daniel shared was, treat each part like it's its own model. And that's something that I never even thought of back then, and it makes so much sense. So, like, when I was working on this interior, I was telling myself, okay, I need to treat this interior like it's its own model. As much effort as I'm giving the whole full model, I'm really only giving each section a small percentage of my attention, a small percentage of the detail I want to add to it. But with this, I was like, no, I want to give it 100% the attention to the interior like it's a model, you know. The same with the exterior, with the stance and all that. So when the time comes later for the engine, it's going to be the same thing. I have to treat that as like it's a model. So I gotta really get some really nice reference photos of engine bays, some really nice clean ones, some show ones, some dirty ones, the raw ones, a little bit of everything. I just have to really get an idea of what is it that I want to do, how is it that I want to show, what do I need to put into this. Because I have come across some Instagram pages of just engine bays for Civics, and it's just so many different setups. Everyone has their own setup. They're not all really the same. They're all quite different, which is pretty cool. So I'm just kind of like, man, I gotta figure something out, you know. But you know, just that model right there, there's a lot of influences that went into that model for sure, because I feel like it was all about the timing and the way everything just kind of came together for this build to be completed. I was just very happy with the results at the end. And the model's tucked away in a case right now on my desk, and I stare at it all the time. Every time I'm sitting there and when I'm taking a break, it's eye candy for me right now. I'm just happy I got it done, and I look forward to working on the next builds. You know, and speaking with Casey with Slowly Models, he was working on stuff, I was working on my stuff, and we're just going back and forth, you know, talking and giving each other updates on things, which made it really cool. It was really fun. You know, we're saying that it almost feels like we hit this like state of like nirvana building these cars. There was really no stress involved, and you know, the pieces were just fitting together. Everything was just kind of coming together, and I hope to experience that with more future builds that are to come. You know, there are some cars that I do have lined up to build, and there are some that I'm actually considering doing a little bit of rattle canning, like going back to that. I know I've been airbrushing a lot of my models for some years now, but there is a part of me that misses the rattle canning of laying a paint job and a clear job with rattle can. So I do plan on picking up some paint, some Tamiya paint and Tamiya clear, and just giving it a go. I feel like I need to do something like that and be able to paint some models, just so I could have like a variety. But I also want to test my skills again with the rattle can, you know. I know that the Tamiya paint's very forgiving. And you know, when you lay down the lacquers and the way it cures and everything. But I want to test out the finish. I want to test out the finish with the clear. I just want to see how that experience goes. You know, however it comes out. You know, I'm not going to strip the model. You know, even if I'm not happy with the results at the end, it's not going to like make me want to strip it and start over. It's just, it's done. It is what it is. You know, and I'll try it again. And if I get this one better, then, you know, I'm onto something. And furthermore, just be able to combine both rattle canning and airbrush. You know, I just want it to be known that you could achieve both things. It's not just always has to be airbrush, you know. You could still, rattle can's good enough too. It's nothing crazy, but I do want to get into that as well. SoCal Open Sunday, drifters and tuners is a theme. I will be bringing a few cars of mine. There's also a couple cars that are going to be bringing in. One being from Ryan, all the way from Hawaii, Scale Builds. I'm bringing out his Celica. There's also the Veilside RX-7 from Soli Models that I'll be bringing in with me. It'll be his first car being appeared in the United States in California, Southern California. So that's going to be out here at the show. I will be placing one of his stickers by his car. This way you could identify. I mean, most of you guys already know that he did this car. Such a beautiful build. But I do want to put that sticker out there for those that maybe follow him, but maybe don't hear the podcast. I don't know. So this way they could see, like, yo, this is the car right here. So those cars will be there on display at the show. And the cars I'll be bringing is the EF9, the Liberty Walk Lamborghini, the Liberty Walk GTR R35. Those will be my picks that I'll be bringing to the event, along with this building that David built for me, the Scale Riders HQ. That will be there as well. So, you know, at some point, if people want to take a picture of their car in front of the building, you know, just let me know and we can make it happen. That's totally possible there. And this is just the beginning. That's just the first building piece. I do plan on expanding that, at least a couple more buildings for each side. So this way you got three buildings next to each other. I think that'll be pretty cool to be able to showcase something like that with builds, you know. But definitely do expect that in the future. But for now, you know, we gotta just bring in what we got. And man, I'm going down the hill right now. I've already crossed so many different cities. I'm now entering Ventura County. And it's nice. I don't know if you noticed, it just got quiet. There's that rain went away. I hope it doesn't rain the rest of the day. I hope it's nice and chill. I can see the sun coming out of the clouds, kind of moving away. So that's a good thing right there. But I hope everyone makes it to their destination where they need to go, and they're safe out, you know, attending, you know, whether it's the SoCal Open, whether it's the Pink Motel, or whether it's the GSL. Either one that you're at, take some photographs, you know, try to get as much content as you can, create those memories. I mean, we're all gonna be in one place at one time, and it'll never happen again. We'll never all be together in one place at one time again. Even if we try, it's not gonna happen. The universe won't let it happen. I'll tell you that right now. There'll always be someone that can't make it, or something happens, or the timing. So make the best of it. If you see your friends there, if you see someone that you've been talking to online for so long and you're finally meeting for the first time, please, please take a photo with each other, because you'll always look back at that photo and just remember that this is when we met in person. You know, post it or just keep it. Keep it in your phone, you know. But just know, like, that's part of documenting right now, you know. If we were able to print our photos, we would be printing these photos like crazy and have, like, stacks of photo albums, like back in the day. But since, you know, we're just used to snapping photos away, snapping them away and posting them, and we got them more, like, digitally up, you know, we can share it with the world. But at the same time, you know, definitely take some photos with your homies. You know, take photos of the models, take photos of the vendors, everything, the vibe. Like, this is how it was. This is the building. This is the taxi driver that got us to this show, or the Uber or whatever, you know? Because you look at everything and you go, man, this was definitely a fun trip. And the pictures are always going to capture things that our eyes sometimes won't even capture, you know? So definitely do that. It should be cool. It should be should be able to have a fun time out there. And just be safe. Always look out for your homies. Make sure, you know, if you have to drive far or whatever from the hotel, whatever, just look out for each other, you know, and have fun. Have fun. It's gonna be a good time. Thursday. I mean, I'm headed to work. I gotta work for the next few days. I even gotta work Saturday. And I normally don't work Saturdays, but I gotta work Saturday. And but Sunday, that'll be the, I don't even want to say it's work. I mean, I'll be at the show vending, but to me, that's not even like work. That's more like just hanging out. You know, shout out to my homie Randall. He'll be out there with me. And it should be fun. Look forward to seeing everyone there at the show. So please come on by, say what's up. We got some new stickers to give out at the show. You know, even if you don't buy anything, just come up, say what's up, I'll give you a sticker, you know. But hope you guys are well. I'm gonna let you guys go right here. I'm already like gonna be stepping in pretty soon here to work. So be safe, have a good one, talk to you guys soon. Peace out.